Why children? Why do you think it might be a focus when you're looking at poverty issues to focus on children? Anyone got any ideas? Anne? Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so there's all kinds of awful statistics, which I can't remember off the top of my head, of how many children die under the age of 5 from diseases. They're very susceptible to that. And in many cultures as well, they're really vulnerable. They can be easily exploited, and they can be trafficked, all kinds of things. They can be used in slavery and generally not very respected. Any other ideas on why children might be a good focus to help? Yep, you can see that they're the future. They're often talked about as the future, aren't they? So actually, if you can help children, they often don't come with preconceptions and you know, different kind of bad habits necessarily, that you can help to free a whole family or a community by helping a child. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I mean, there's obviously, it's really important to help everyone, but compassion are focused particularly on children. And that's the reason why. As well as that, there's a biblical mandate, isn't there, God tells his people time and again to really help the widows and the orphans in communities. So I guess that's maybe another reason that Compassion have chosen to focus on children in their ministry. Now, their whole way of operating is one sponsor to one child. And this is quite controversial in development circles. Some people, I think often when you have a sponsorship program, you sponsor a child, but you're actually sponsoring the community, setting up a medical center or a school or an orphanage. And that's fantastic. But Compassion have, again, they've honed their way of working to one child to one sponsor. So as soon as you choose a child that you want to sponsor, what happens is the local church works in their local area. They've been established there for years, and they partner with Compassion. They can identify the most vulnerable children, children who are susceptible to those particular vulnerabilities of their area, who are living in extreme poverty. They enroll them into the project, and they look for sponsors like you and me. We might start sponsoring a child, and that child then has access to education, they have access to medical care, they have access to income generating lessons on how they can set up in their local community to make money themselves for their families, and they are given a Bible. They're taught about Jesus every day. And one of the overwhelming positives from Compassion, and one thing they're really passionate about, is that I think when people live in poverty, as well as the practical needs, which are so obvious, one need that seems to have come up time and again when you speak to people who live in extreme poverty is that they feel worthless and they feel at the bottom of the pile, just like those rags on the Korean streets. And they are seen as valueless to their community. They're often treated really badly because they have nothing and they feel like nothing. And to have someone from a different country say, I believe in you and I want the best for you, and to have people writing letters makes such a difference to those children. And I recently did some work for Compassion, actually, where I was working with the pastors from churches all over Africa and Asia as well. And one of the overwhelming things that they said was the children are so encouraged to receive letters from their sponsors because they're suddenly valued and they're suddenly treated as if they're an equal human being and they're of worth, which can really transform someone. And we know that actually it's really important to have physical needs met, but to have someone believe in you makes such a difference, doesn't it? So that's a really wonderful difference that compassion can make. And they have holistic care as well. So I've been lucky enough to go and visit projects in Peru and in India. And it's amazing to see the local church, to think of our church actually and us in that situation and how would we reach out, and to see this model of the local church as a real beacon of hope in the community. And as soon as they take the child in, then the whole family is really involved and is changed, and the whole community as well. And there's a curriculum that's set up that runs through all the compassion projects in all of the countries that they work in, the 25 different countries. But each local church has got specialists in the poverty issues where they live, and they're able to tailor the curriculum to that particular area, to the particular needs of that area, to the particular poverty issues there. So, I don't know, maybe witchcraft or trafficking or drug abuse, that kind of thing. They're able to kind of build the children up to be able to be resistant, and even more than that, to be able to change their peers and their community for the better. And there's some really wonderful stories of children who have been sponsored and gone on to lead their countries in different ways. So there's a woman, Margaret, in Uganda, who is an MP there, and she's fighting for the rights of the poor in the government. There's all kinds of people who have gone on to do amazing things, and people have become missionaries in their area, and all kinds of different amazing tasks that God had planned for them. So we're going to just watch a video which has got the testimony of an amazing man called Richmond.
When I was 8 years old, my father was taken away from us, and by that I mean he was murdered. Nothing was the same for me. News began to come to our doorstep. From our landlord, we got word that we couldn't stay in the house that we stayed anymore because we couldn't afford it. My mother had no job. My father was the only breadwinner. We moved from where we stayed to a place called Naguru Kasenke, which is one of Uganda's largest slums. And then I was introduced to our new home, which was a 12 by 12 room. I looked up on the roof. It was a tin roof that had holes in it. I've been to places where when it rains, people are happy. They get excited. But for me growing up, whenever it rained, that was a night that we would stay standing. Get little buckets, place just where the holes in the roof are, and wait until morning. A reality hit me that day. This was life. I remember when my mom said to us there was no money for food. That ushered us into a place where we were now going to begin to go to the street to fend for food. Hunger began to set in. Lack of water. I was a kid. I didn't have time to be a child anymore. As I lived like this on a daily basis, poverty began to speak to me as a child. I felt I was nothing. I didn't matter. Nobody cared to know my name. I think the best way I could describe who I was and what I thought is the word hopeless. My mother, in tears, approached one of her friends just to share with her friend, and her friend shared with her about compassion. Compassion staff members immediately came to our home. I remember them coming with files to get details of who we were, what our story was. I got the news that a young lady, Heather, she was 15 years old, a teenager, she had decided to sponsor me. I cannot find the words to describe the joy that filled our home when we got the news. Richmond, you've got a sponsor, which means you can now go back to school. It means food will be given to us because of you. I began to walk into that reality that ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken away. Heather began to write to me. To hear words like, Richmond, I love you. Richmond, I'm praying for you. They began to bring healing into places that were destroyed by voices and poverty and my self-image. I remember my day, June the 3rd, 1996. I walked forward to accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I began to feel, wow, I have been released from poverty. I have been released. God began to continue to grow the leadership within me. And then I felt fully called to pursue pastoral ministry. I began the Pastors Discipleship Network, a ministry that exists to train and equip pastors. And I spend a lot of my life training and equipping pastors in the Word of God. Looking back into my life and thinking where I am right now and what I'm doing, I don't think any of this would have been possible without compassion. Compassion works. Everything that was pressed within the program has helped build me to who I am right now. Poverty is not just the lack of money, the lack of material, food, and water. Poverty is in. It's deep. I credit a lot of how I feel now about myself to those letters that I received from my sponsor. My name is Richmond Wandera, and I was released from poverty in Jesus' name.
I think it's very compelling when you see a story like that, a testimony like that, and you see the difference that one sponsor can make in the life of one individual. I was struck when you read Psalm 139. We know it well, don't we? But just those first few verses where David writes... not the first few verses, you, the middle. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Those children in those areas don't know that. And compassion reaches out, not only to deal with the poverty in their lives, but also in terms of the kind of physical poverty, material poverty, but also to deal with that spiritual poverty where they feel they're worthless and hopeless. And it is wonderful that they can bring the Word of God and knowledge of the Lord Jesus into their hearts. And it is thrilling to see that happening in the way that we've heard about. Well, as Vicky's talked about, it's that one child, one sponsor part of Compassion's work that is so impactful. And we've put into each of the connects this morning a Compassion leaflet, which outlines a bit more about what sponsorship looks like. I know that many at Binscombe Church already sponsor children through Compassion. This explains a bit more of how you can do that, if that's something you want to do, perhaps as a family, perhaps as a group, perhaps as individuals. Do have a read through, see if that is something that you want to be involved with. Here at Binscombe, through Junior Church, we sponsor Magnum. We used to sponsor a boy called Caio, who lived in Brazil, but Magnum lives in Togo. She's 5 years old, and Junior Church bring in some money week by week to support her and to pray for her and to pray for the people around her that they, as they minister to her, not only that she would be safe and have what she needs materially, but also that she would one day come to know the Lord Jesus and put her trust in him. And so we're thinking about how Junior Church can do that in the best way possible, and I know that they pray for her every week, and are thinking about how we can be raising money for her There's more information, and there's some magazines at the back on two tables. So if you want to pick up some more information and leaflets about the work of Compassion and what they do, then by all means do that. Do ask Vicky. She particularly knows more, and others here too, about the work of Compassion. We thought it would be good to have some time to pray not just for Compassion, and to pray for particularly Magnum, who is our contact here through Junior Church, but to pray more widely too for the issues of poverty that we've started to think about at the beginning of our time together, and praying that God would be at work, and that just, I was thinking this morning that actually he would be at work in those areas, but also that he'd be at work in our hearts, because I guess we are complacent and often have so much, and actually are sometimes very deaf to the needs of the world around us. So pray that God would move us and move those nations that have influence and can have opportunities to change the lives of individuals around the world just by through political decisions often, and through work of other organisations like Compassion and so on. So what I thought we'd do is we'd get into perhaps to smaller groups. I think that would be easier just for the last 5 minutes of our time together. There's a few things up there to pray for, some ideas, Compassion, resources that they need, the wisdom, us, for Magnum. Compassion have asked us to pray for a couple of individuals, particularly, we don't know them, of course we don't, but the Lord does, for Ryan and a teenager from the Dominican Republic, in particular. But also as we pray, let's be praying for the wider needs of our world, and that the Lord would be at work through Compassion and other organisations, and even through you and me. We've got 5 minutes, so if you're able, just very quickly, just to turn in your group, just to threes, fours, fives, commit some of these things in prayer to the Lord, and then I'll close in prayer in a moment. You'd be making this your final prayer. Just going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much that you are the one who has made us fearfully and wonderfully. And Father, thank you that you have revealed that to us, and that actually we are most wonderfully remade when we know the Lord Jesus too. And so we thank you for the work of Compassion. We thank you for the work that they do to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring that practical material support, but also to bring the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'd use that work wonderfully, and that many would know that hope brought by those wonderful people on the ground in those different countries around the world, and that many would testify to meeting Jesus because of them. And we pray for that work and our involvement in it, and pray that you keep moving our hearts to be generous, to be outward looking, and to have the gospel in mind for the people around us and the people in this world that you've created. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's tea and coffee time. Enjoy, and do feel free to have a look at some of the resources around as well.